This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Post-draft, what Cowboys position groups do you feel good about? And I'm probably not going to say the word again, but instead, I'm going to turn it over to the Buffalo Bills GM, Brandon Bean, because he uses this word a shocking amount of time in a short period of time. So Brandon Bean called into, well, one of our sister stations to talk about the draft, and he felt like in the minute or two leading up to it, he was not pleased with their lack of faith and lack of excitement over the draft. And use one specific word many times. Let's see if you can figure it out.
I was just listening the last few minutes of your show before I came on, waiting on here.
All right.
Sounds like 2018 all over with you guys.
Well, we're very, how so?
Well, you guys were bitching in 2018 about Josh Allen. You guys wanted Josh Rosen, and now you guys are bitching that we don't have a receiver. I don't get it. Like, we just scored, hold on, let me talk. Scored 30 points in a row for 8 straight games. A year ago, I get you guys asking why we didn't have receivers, but I don't understand it now. You just saw us lead the league in points when you add all the postseason. No one scored more points than the Buffalo Bills, including the Super Bowl champions. So you just saw us do it without Stephon Diggs, same group. How is this group not better than last year's group? Like, I don't – like, our job is to score points and win games. Where do we need to get better? Defense. We did that. So I get it. You got to have a show, and you got to have something to bitch about. But bitching about wide receiver is one of the dumbest arguments I've heard.
4 times. So,
you think whenever he's at the offices at Buffalo that he cusses less, or do you think that he uses that frequently?
No, that feels like his go-to.
Okay, all right.
Phrase for sure. And so I just wanted to play that because I think it's fun. But also, post-draft, which Cowboys positions do you feel good about, and which ones lead you down the path of the Bills GM?
I guess wide receiver leads me down that path, which is funny.
I don't know if I need to play that clip again for you, all right? Relax.
And as we discussed earlier, the Cowboys, they feel comfortable, but Kevin, not comfortable enough to not have the discussion with other teams about trading for a wide receiver.
Yeah.
So obviously there is conversation going on about what they can do to make the team better. And if you're looking at this thing right now, Kevin, and saying that you kind of hit the reset button on the backup offensive linemen, they have 17 offensive linemen signed to this team right now on their roster.
Is that right?
17 offensive linemen.
Awesome.
It's ridiculous. But if you kind of look at, all right, we're replacing this guy. Then this team is kind of resetting itself a little bit. I mean, think of it that way, where they've moved on from some things. They have a new head coach. He obviously has to build something pretty quickly. And with his wide receiver, he's probably looking at it going, I know what I got with CeeDee, but I don't trust anything else yet. Guys, y'all, I need a little bit of help here. And the Cowboys, in a year where they want to prop up their head coach,
right,
not demolish him, or like whatever you need, we can try and give it to you. And give him the credit. Give Schottenheimer the credit for being right there in the mix of it all. Not going and hanging out somewhere else while everybody's doing the scouting work. Schottenheimer's right there trying to get it all done. So I do feel I feel better about the offensive line than I have. So after they added him, after they added Booker at the right guard spot, I feel like the middle of this offensive line is very strong. I still have concern about the tackles, but I feel like the middle of the offensive line and the 85 backups that they have are good. So that's the strongest position I actually feel about right now.
And see, for me, it depends. If you're alive, if you feel okay breaking up the defensive line as a whole, then I feel pretty stoked about our edge position right now.
I'm with you, man.
And so that's what I would go with. And if you're like, nah, you got to take the whole package. Well, look, I understand there's still some potential flaws there, but I feel a lot better about the defensive line, specifically the edge position after this. Like
your rotation there is going to be very strong.
Oh my God.
Your rotation at defensive end is going to be very strong. And hopefully Sam Williams doesn't, I can't explain or predict what he's going to be.
Yeah.
I know physically the traits are insane.
Yeah.
Like he's a giant physically. He's faster than he should be. And he can get to the ball carrier or ball thrower, whoever it is, very fast. But it's the other things that are a big question mark of, we just got a 7-yard loss on that play and then also a 15-yard penalty.
So for me, what I'm going to go Bills GM on right here is it's still the running back. And the reason why I differentiate my frustration with running back from wide receiver, because as we all know, like they're two very clear holes. You don't have a running back one and you don't have a wide receiver two. Look, the Jones family can come on here and say they disagree with that all they like. That's fine. My opinion, and the correct opinion, is that they do not have a running back one or a wide receiver two. The thing that bothers me more is I see more options for wide receiver two out there. Now, I know, like, whether it's Amari Cooper, Keenan Allen, that's already driving some people crazy, but I really don't want ETN to, like, come in here and I'm like, great. So you have another one that I'm like...
It's a combination of all the other guys, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And so I think that's what was frustrating for me for running back. And I know they did take Blue, and I know he is a speedster. He's not running back one.
It doesn't matter how much you like Blue or how much you like Maffa, okay? Those guys were picked on day three for a reason.
Yeah.
And as what we want him to be, like we want Jaden Blue to be, like everybody has this idea of if he can hold on to the ball... That speed, and I agree, the speed can be a game changer. He might be able to be a game changer out of the backfield as a receiver, too. That is a distinct possibility for him. But the complete backs go in the top of the first round. The complete backs go earlier than day three.
Yes.
And so that's what you're dealing with. You have to understand and accept that there are some things missing from his skill set. The rest of your running backs are also missing things from their skill set. That's why they were free agents.
Yeah.
Or that's why they just haven't caught on yet, because they aren't complete yet. And so you have a bunch of incomplete pieces that you have to try and figure out how to get on the field at the right times.
From the 469, isn't it Dak's responsibility to make Mingo and Tolbert the number two and three receivers? He's getting all the money. Romo made receivers. All right. Let's take a couple of steps back. If you want to compare to Romo, we can definitely do that, because I actually did think that there were multiple receivers that Tony Romo made better. It's just, I understand their point, but this feels like Cowboys logic that I really don't like. You overpaid Dak. That's a fact. Like, that cannot possibly be disputed after what Josh Allen did. Like, that's just a cold, hard fact. And so you can't use the fact that you overpaid and say, now I want you to magically develop even more skills than you've displayed. I think Dak can raise the level of certain wide receivers for certain amounts of time. For him to say, I'm going to raise up Mingo and Tolbert another level, or maybe even two position levels from where they should be, I just do not think that's reasonable for him, especially coming off of an injury. So you spent the money, you spent it incorrectly, and now you have to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think saying, well, Dak should be able to do that if he's getting paid all the money, should, but he won't.
Yeah.
Not for a season. It's not going to happen.
It is always weird. And it has been a Cowboys history, hasn't it? To be like, once we pay them.
Yeah.
Or once they put that star in their helmet, they'll be different.
Yeah. And guess what?
Somebody said from the 214, if we get Bryce Hall, I would love Bryce Hall. I would love to have
Breece
that.
Hall?
Breece Hall. Yeah, I'm sorry. They said Bryce. I would love Breece Hall. That kind of talent in the backfield would be an absolute blast to run with.
And does it feel like you would give him a real shot, or you would feel more comfortable with him as running back?
He would be your one, yes.
Okay.
Immediately.
And I understand the
injury. And then you're trying to figure out, because Miles Sanders and Javonte Williams are two completely different running backs. And I don't know where Deuce Vaughn fits into this, or Malik Davis. I don't know where they fit into it, but they haven't been good enough yet to be the starter for this team who was missing a running back. So that's where I'm still kind of lost in that conversation. Sorry to take that away.
No, not at all.
Yes, there are plenty of good ones on days two and three. The great ones typically go in the first round. Like and the ones that are going to walk onto the field and be starters almost immediately go in the first round. That's the point. The guys that are on days two and three, a lot of times, mostly on days three, have to work harder to get seen by the team.
Alec, is there a particular position that you feel pretty confident about with the Cowboys position group wise post draft, or is there one that you would like to make the Bills GM phone call and that's how you feel?
I feel like one that's not getting talked about enough as a positive is what you did with the corner position and getting Revel.
I agree with that.
I think he's fantastic. If it wasn't for a pretty big knee injury, then he would have been a, you know, mid to top of the first round kind of guy. He's incredible. The way he trails receivers, the plays he can make on the football, he's really, really good. You found yourself a starter there at corner if he can stay healthy. That's going to be really fun to watch. The defensive line, I think, got better throughout the draft as well. But I will, it's the low-hanging fruit. I'm going to keep pointing at the running back position because, like you said, there's not a clear running back one. And I like that Jaden Blue, even in his first availability, admitted, like, hey, if I got to come in and be a running back by committee guy, I understand that. If I come in and win the job out of camp, cool. Either way, we're going to try to win some football games with whatever combination we need. You're probably going to need a pretty, you know, ever-changing combination of running backs throughout the season, of whether it's just health or production overall. Like you're kind of even seeing with the Rangers lineup, you can point to that similar thing. You're gonna have to make some changes throughout this season depending on who's hot and who's not at the running back position, because there isn't a clear-cut guy now. Like Corey said, Breece Hall could change all of that. He would be your clear-cut running back one day one if that trade were to be made. That's not a free agent. You got to make some things move and some things shake for that to happen. Right now, I do think Blue can develop into something, but right now, you don't have a clear leader in that running back room, which is disappointing considering how deep this class really was.
Now, are you okay if I pivot over to something else? All right.
Oh, pivotal game five last night for the Stars, Kevin.
Yes.
Pivotal!
That is... I don't know if everyone knows that. We joke about that all the time, is how many times you hear that word and then how many times you'll be like, oh, pivotal game two. And you're like, okay, then they're all pivotal.
Game one's a must win.
Yeah, okay, then they're all pivotal. It's the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Like, I had an amazing conversation with my wife. We were talking about...
Good for you, man. Not everybody gets to do that.
We were talking about one of the basketball series and I was like, you know, I'm not like super invested in Bucks Pacers. And she goes, oh, is this an important game? And then she stopped and goes... Well, it's a playoff, so I guess they're probably all important. And I was like, yes, exactly. I had a couple more baseball notes for you. Did you see the next stadium that the Savannah Bananas took over?
No, I didn't.
They took over Clemson's football stadium and had a crowd of 81,000 people there for that.
Wow. Dude, I'm telling you, man. I don't know that you say, let's load up 162, and those guys would fill up every single time.
Sure,
but very similar to the Globetrotters, it's an entertaining sight when you get there.
And I can't wait to see how the rest of the year plays out. But this year, they're scheduled to play in 40 cities, including multiple NFL stadiums and 17 Major League Baseball stadiums. And then there's this. Here's our happy Ranger stat of the day, since, you know, I don't really have a lot of those to present to you. Jacob Lats. So last week, Jacob Lats generated a 0.3 war in his season debut against the A's. Just for that, 4 1/3 scoreless innings out of the bullpen in relief of Rocker. That is tremendous, right?
Yes.
Now, to be fair, I need to tell you the flip side of it. At the time, his war of 0.3 from that one game right there was better than all but five position players on the Texas Rangers roster.
Now, dude? This seems so weird that you're bringing this. This hurts my soul.
I know, but
here I am thinking our pitching is going to save us.
Hey, look, you got DeGrom and Eovaldi, and we were talking about this off air. Man, we really need them to come through. Okay. And then what? You're going to win for sure?
Hopefully.
But unless it's a complete game shutout, you're like, either way. Like if I set the over under.
How many times do you think the Rangers have only scored one run?
A lot. Like, just look back at the last week or so, right?
They've scored no runs a lot too.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. So I set the over under. I'm not kidding. I set the over on Rangers runs tonight scored at 2.5.
That seems like an easy play. It seems like an easy play.
What is your answer?
Under.
See?
Like I feel like two. I mean, even Boach. That's depressing. Isn't that Boach's line? He was like, I got to get off this two number here.
Yes.
We got to stop doing this.
We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. You know what? Again, I hope they score 10 runs. Boach loves the numbers. We can bring that to him. It's like, I'm sorry. Yesterday, I set the over-under at 2.5. I think he would chuckle, but only if they scored a lot of runs and won the game.
He does like looking at the lines.
Yes. Yes, he does. Coming up next, how about we do some AM on the FM?
The question of the day, plus, this has to be the coolest baseball call I've ever heard. That's not the one that Kevin played earlier. Next on The Fan.
There is nothing better than playoff hockey, and we are underway again. Score! Just to begin 9 seconds in. We were wondering if the big weapons were going to put the puck in the net tonight for Dallas. Wyatt Johnston just did.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 through The Fan. Stay tuned a little bit in the show, probably about 12. We will maybe give you the Colorado glimpse of how their audio sounded for that. It's tremendous.
I was told just keep waiting. There's more of it. So I gotta keep, there's a transcript I'm running through right now trying to check them all out.
In the meantime, Corey, you have a stat about Wyatt Johnston.
And this comes from Victory Plus. See this. Only two players have tallied more multi-goal playoff games before turning 22 than Wyatt Johnston. He has three in NHL history. In a minute, we'll get to those. He has until May 14th to get his fourth.
Because that's his birthday?
That is his birthday. He'll turn 22 then. So May 14th, he can get one more. If he gets one more, he'll tie the two guys that are ahead of him. If he gets two more, Kevin, guess what?
He'll have the record.
So again, only two players have tallied more multi-goal playoff games before turning 22. Wyatt Johnston is one with three right now.
And I got one of these right. I definitely got the other one wrong because I assumed Gretzky was one of them.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And he's not. And then the other one
it's the one. It's
Sid
the one
kid.
Stat that Gretzky doesn't have.
So it's Sid the Kid and who?
Pierre Turgeon. Pierre Turgeon is the other one.
Probably would not.
We're very lucky to have Wyatt Johnston. Like this, at the age that he is, doing the things that he's doing, skilled player, electric on the ice, can score. And last night, Kevin, what we saw was it looked like Pete DeBoer just said, all right, now I'm going to turn on the stars, and they're going to go after it. And that was nice.
No, I agree with all of that. And you know what? Speaking of electric, right now, it's time for this.
What does this button do? Please, please, do not push the button. You have no idea of what it...
Alec, you be quiet.
Alec, that was awful.
One for Alec, zero for Peyton.
Don't you dare touch that dial.
Don't you dare do it. It is time for AM on the FM. My name is Alec Medford, 877-881-1053. The Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorneys text line to answer today's question of the day, Twitch and YouTube as well. Plus, this might be the best baseball call I've ever heard.
Oh.
Just because pop culture references rule, especially when you're pretty good at them. We'll get to that here in just a little bit. But today's question of the day, gentlemen, is going to tie into why I was absent yesterday. I don't know how I'm alive after this weekend. It was just so busy, so electric, so much going on. Started with the Pluckers draft party out in City View, which I didn't even mention this to y'all. Y'all will be pleased by this. It's not like on top of a majestic hill or anything.
Like I envisioned.
But it is super elevated.
Okay.
Like it's not on a mountaintop, but it is way higher than a lot of the other restaurants and stuff in the area. So I was kind of pleased by that. I did have to drive up a pretty decent hill on the access road. I was like, this makes sense. Very on brand. Had a ton of fun there hanging out with everybody who showed up. Appreciate everyone who did that. Friday, I do the show. Get out of here. I have about an hour to eat and everything. And then our guy James and I, we went to Fort Worth, Dickie's Arena, for Friday Night SmackDown. Saw one of the best matches I've ever seen in my life. Happened right in front of my eyes. Tables,
DLC.
Ladders, and chairs. Got to see the return of Aleister Black with his original theme. Made me so happy.
That intro is really cool.
It's so good. I'm so happy he didn't get Def Rebeled. That would have been, it would have actually made me visibly sad. The guy in front of me, I should have introduced myself. He had a Fire Nico sign that he was holding up the entire show. And during, I'm not making this up, every single commercial break, deafening Fire Nico chants.
Wow.
Not just like a little pod of people trying to start something. The entire arena. The entire arena was chanting it. And they do their little sign of the night bit, you know, where they start pointing at signs during a commercial break to get the crowd amped. They pointed at him. And everybody started chanting Fire Nico. And even Nash, the ring announcer, was like, yeah, you know, let's get it. You know, good stuff. You know, it's like, oh, God, they're promoting it. This is insane. So had that. And then the Grand National Tour, Kendrick Lamar and SZA at AT&T Stadium on Saturday.
Question, Alec.
Yes.
We are going to wipe part of your memory.
Oh, no.
Only Friday or Saturday can remain. Only SmackDown or the concert can remain in your memory.
Saturday.
Oh, in your face wrestling.
That's why, because the question of the day today, I've asked this before, but I got to reset my own leaderboard. What is the best live event you have ever been to? 877-881-1053. It can be a concert, could be a comedy set, could be pro wrestling, could be a game. What is the best live entertainment event you have ever been to? Because the Grand National Tour overtook spot number one. For me.
Ooh.
And it used to be held by The Weeknd back in 2022 at AT&T Stadium. Kendrick Lamar is just different live. Like, it was a 2.5 hour set.
Wow.
51 songs combined with him and SZA. They had a few that they did together, but they would do like 3 or 4 songs on. They would switch off. They had all kinds of elements of production. He was freestyling new verses of songs that already existed just off the dome. It was incredible.
That's awesome.
And the fact that I was there with some of my best friends too, our guy Ruben was even a few rows behind me, which was pretty cool. I could just look back at him anytime something crazy happened, and you know, like, oh my God, that was awesome. It was loud. It was deafening. The crowd was insane. And the performers, both of them, were just incredible. I had the time of my life that night, and I don't know how long it's going to take for that to get replaced. I think it's going to sit there at number one for a while.
Sporting event is very easy. It was game 5 of the 2011 NBA championship. That I've never heard a crowd like that before in my life. And it's hard to explain that. I feel like the pop off of a Stone Cold is definitely something similar, but that crowd was perfect. So that's it there. My favorite live event concert-wise though wasn't a big concert. I've been to a bunch of big concerts, but it was at the Granada Theater. And it was Bob Schneider. I love Bob Schneider anyway, but it was OK Go was really good there too. But that little venue right there provides, like, it's that perfect venue for, it feels intimate. You're very close to the stage. Adrian got on the stage for OK Go. They pulled her up on the stage. She's hot, I guess. That's what I think. And so, but yeah.
To Bob, you?
I think
doesn't my, sound like that.
I think my wife's hot.
Okay. You
know, yes, I do. But then I popped up. I think Bob Schneider was the one where I've got to see my favorite artist that close, and the show absolutely rocked.
All right. So I'm going to do the same thing, sporting event and concert. Concert, I believe I can take you back to the Bronco Bowl. And we were going to go see Drowning Pool.
Oh, wow.
And this is like before.
And then Bodies hit
Bodies
the floor, yeah.
Took over. And it also had the other bands were Nonpoint and Head PE. And I was also at the age where, like, I was just fine getting in the mix and doing the things and everything like that. So that was a blast. And then you could, like, leave and go bowl. I also saw ECW once at the Bronco Bowl, which is really weird. But my favorite sporting event ever, it was the Texas and Texas A&M game in 1999. It was right after the Bonfire Stack had collapsed. I was going to school then. I think I've talked about this before. Like, A&M was losing in that game, I believe in the fourth quarter. But everyone was like, well, we're not going to lose the game. Like, based on nothing but just, like, gut feeling and like the emotional moment of sports, and A&M did end up winning, and it just been like a really emotional like 72 hours, and it just kind of came to a head there, and that will always probably be number one. That was super cool.
I like all of these. There's some unique ones coming in on the Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorneys text line. I like the angle that the 972 took. The best live event I ever saw in person, Duncanville beating North Shore in the 6A Division I state championship.
There have been some amazing high school football games we've been to. Yeah. Like, I've been very lucky to see some awesome high school football games.
Let's see. From the 972, Coldplay all day, Starplex 2009, four guys just putting it all out there. I saw them at the Cotton Bowl back in 2021, I think. Incredible. Like, I've never seen 80,000 people just so stupidly happy at once. Like, they just radiate positivity. It's ridiculous to see in person. But from the 940, their concert is U2's 30th anniversary show. That would be pretty cool. From the 713, just saw Linkin Park this weekend in Austin. It's my new number one seat.
Oh, yeah.
Been listening to them since I was 8. I cried twice.
Have people seem to, like, have accepted the new singer?
Yes. Emily's awesome. I got to see her play Globe Field with Linkin Park on the first leg of this tour, and I was kind of jealous that this Austin show was going on at the same time that I had a million places to be, or I totally would have drove down there to go see them in a little bit smaller of a venue at the Moody Center. But yeah, it seems like the public is starting to kind of accept her, because I think she's awesome. I think she fits the role very well. And if you watch some of the YouTube videos of them making some of this music, she radiates that same energy that Chester did. She's just a giant child. And super in the best possible way.
I get what you're saying.
Super likable. From the 716, Cowboys versus Steelers in 2016. That's a really good one.
Man, what a magical season that was.
That really was. I've never felt the same since then.
Oh, is that the one Zeke ran away at the very end of the game? Yeah,
that was
awesome.
I got it. Don't worry.
I still think about that game a little bit too much, and I think about what could have been.
That was Zeke forever until not forever after that.
Look, I know we talked about this. I thought the Cowboys were going to rule the NFL for like 5 to 7 years after that.
I did too.
There's nobody who could have changed my mind.
You had everything you needed.
Yeah.
Everything you needed.
And then, well.
That was probably just the youthful bliss of me thinking that we were unstoppable. That was the first really competitive football that I remembered watching in a long time, because I was young at that point. I hated everything about that season because it put my expectations so high. And now if we can't reach that same feeling, then I feel like we're a massive failure.
Yeah.
That's probably just a tragic flaw of mine. Whenever the standard gets set so high, I never really bring it back down. And I could say that in multiple areas of life.
Yeah.
It's not just sports, trust me. Whenever the bar gets raised, then everything else below it is just miserable to me. And that's probably a bad way to think. From the 817, when A-Rod struck out to go to the World Series. On your face. I like that.
That was so awesome. I remember, I'm pretty sure I was in a high school press box.
I was leaving a high school press box. Keith Whitmire and I stood outside, and he had it. I don't even, this was like before streaming really worked.
Yeah. Oh,
and
yeah.
It was at Jesuit, and I'd seen Babe Laufenberg downstairs. I'd seen him, and I kind of knew Babe at the time, just a little bit, so I was kind of excited to talk to him, and now I'm still very excited. It was just I didn't really know him well enough yet. And so it was Jesuit, I think Lake Highlands. And then I step outside and Keith's like, do you want to watch the rest of this? And I was like, oh, absolutely, dude. Let's check it out. And then I got to hear all the good stuff later.
All right. So I want to take you guys to a piece of audio here that I stumbled across last night. This is amazing. Andy Dirks on the Tigers home TV broadcast. It's one thing to call or like predict a home run about to happen. But when you do it in this fashion, this is just unique, and this is one of my all-time favorite calls now. Take a listen.
Are you the Mortal Kombat guy?
Scorpion wins.
Gary, finish him.
Just wait for it.
3-2. That's a high fly ball, deep to left field. Altuve back at the track and the wall, and that is way up and out of here. Kerry Carpenter does
finish him.
2-0 Tigers.
That's the coolest thing ever.
Oh, I love it.
Just the random banter of, hey, you sound like the Mortal Kombat guy right now. And he just calls for the home run, and right on cue about 5 seconds later, one of my favorite calls was born.
I love it. Excellent edition of AM on the FM. Coming up next, it's time for Gridiron Gravy. Should jerseys ever get unretired? Next on the Fan.
5:50 left in the third. Boone rolling left. Unfortunate to Slaughter. Touchdown, Houston Oilers.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, It's time to go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy.
Dip.
Dip and rip it.
I want to start by talking about if jerseys should get unretired, because we went two different ways with this. Warren Moon said he did give Cam Ward his blessing to wear the number one jersey, and he kind of followed one of the things that I think you threw out there, Corey, is like, hey, get to know the kid. And he said, I got a lot of respect for this young man right here, speaking of Cam Ward. I wore the number one for a lot of different reasons for a long time, starting back in 1976. Now that I'm part of the Titans family, my Oiler jersey will probably never be worn again. But the Tennessee Titans jersey is going to be worn by Cam to kind of revitalize it. On the other hand, there was, and we thought this would probably happen, Abdul Carter talking about Lawrence Taylor. Lawrence Taylor said, no, get another number.
Mm-hmm.
And then he tried to soften it by like, hey, go create your own path. And I liked Abdul Carter's answer, though. He goes, the worst thing he could have said was no. And that's what happened. He said, LT is still the GOAT. Nothing but respect. This is just going to make me work even harder. What do you think about the idea of unretiring jerseys versus pick a different number?
Don't do it.
Don't unretire jerseys. I'm with you on that.
And that being said, I also don't care if Warren Moon says it's okay. So either way. But initially, right. The player doesn't want his number unretired, he earned that. You retired his number for a reason.
Yeah.
And that being said, you have no clue what Abdul Carter is going to turn out to be.
Yeah. Like, I mean, well, you wouldn't just give the number to someone who didn't turn out to be any good.
Yeah.
Like 88. Like
88. Think about that for a second. Drew Pearson, Michael Irvin, CeeDee Lamb, Post Malone, Antonio Bryant. That's a little weird. 94. Charles Haley, DeMarcus Ware. Randy Gregory. So like, that's the point there is you can't just throw a jersey on somebody and be like, they're going to be that guy. Even though you want to see that when you see their number, that's just not the way it is. So I agree with Lawrence Taylor too, though. Get your own number, make it something that's special and people remember you by.
Now the Seahawks picked up the fifth year option on left tackle Charles Cross, but the Browns declined the fifth year option on Kenny Pickett. A lot of people are making a big deal out of that, saying that means he's like already being phased out, blah, blah, blah. Maybe. Or maybe it's that the fifth year option was for $22.1 million. And they're like, why in the hell would we commit to $22.1 million guaranteed to Kenny Pickett?
I think you just nailed it right there, Kevin. That's a lot of money for a guy that is a Super Bowl champion. Okay. I mean, he does have a Super
All
Bowl.
Right.
He played and won a Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Played in. Won it, and also scored a touchdown on the Cowboys. So don't forget that, but it's a lot of money.
Yeah, and also you drafted
all of
and
them?
Have all of the quarterbacks.
Who's winning that job?
Kenny Pickett.
If Dylan Gabriel ends up winning the job over Shador.
I mean, he got drafted higher. He should.
This also was the RG3 and Kirk Cousins situation. Will people lose their minds over it and be like, I can't believe that? Or will they go, oh, man, they had an opportunity to go compete and the better one won?
I hope they look at it reasonably and they're like, he's a third round pick. Relax. Like, you know, it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go from that to the University of Texas. The University of Texas set a program record with 12 players taken in a 7-round draft. Now, remember, obviously, the draft used to be significantly longer at times, but for a 7-round draft, so the last 30-ish years, 12 is a record for Texas. Now, Texas and Oklahoma helped propel the SEC. They had a record 79 players taken in this draft. The previous record was 65.
Oh, man!
All right. I hope that is one of your hotkeys now, because that should always be ready to go.
Oh, man.
Also, how are you going to log into something and maybe get the answer wrong, and they say, your account is now locked because you've exceeded the number of attempts? It was one time!
Well, maybe somebody was already trying to hack your account, and they logged in twice the wrong way, and you were the third one.
Okay, well, it's medicine by mail, so I don't know. I mean, I guess. That could be a thing.
Medicine by female.
People. Okay.
That's wrong.
All right. Let's go from that. I hate you guys sometimes. Let's go from that to the highest selling jerseys early on for the rookies. Who do you think?
Shedeur Sanders.
Shedeur Sanders is third.
All right. We got number three, Halleck.
All right. So top five rookie jersey sales at shopnfl.shop.nfl.shop.com.
Huh? What?
I don't know. I feel like every time they say it, they're like shopnfl.shop.com. And I'm like, it's too much.
.net.
Yeah.
EDM. Escape.
What's your answer?
Ashton Gentry.
Ashton Gentry.
I like it.
Is number four.
All right.
So you guys got three and four on the board.
I do feel like the number one overall pick probably sold some jerseys in Tennessee. Maybe.
Makes sense. But in this case, number one is number two. Cam Ward, second on the list. So you guys have gotten two, three, four. You're just missing one and five.
I think number one's probably easy then.
Yeah.
You got it.
Travis Hunter.
I was really hoping you said like Abdul Carter. Travis Hunter is correct, and Tet McMillan is fifth.
That was actually going to be my guess.
So Travis Hunter, Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders, Ashton Gentry, and Tet McMillan fill out your top five. Let's talk about George Kittle. George Kittle gets an extension. 4 years, $76 million. He also gets guaranteed $40 million to make him the highest paid tight end in the NFL.
That is a lot.
Is he the best tight end?
The other day when we had this kind of like little discussion about the tight ends in the league and you know what guys were supposed to turn out to be like, somebody texted in and was like, it's absolutely Kittle. He's the best right now. He's the one that you're trying to make turn everybody into. And my body, or my mind tells me that his body, at some point, that physical style of play, it wore down San Francisco last year.
Right.
At some point, the way he plays is going to wear down, but man, he plays with relentless abandon, reckless abandon. He is just one of those guys that goes out there and gives it all. I like George Kittle a lot, Kevin. For a long time, it was definitely Kelce was above him.
Yeah.
Because that's what it was. I was like, is Brock Bowers the best tight end right now? And they were like, what about Kittle? But yeah, so even though he plays for a team I hate and he wears that shirt underneath that says F Dallas, I have a lot of respect for the way he plays the game.
Now, it's not often we get to bring up the CFL, but in case you're curious, the Toronto Argonauts get the first right to negotiate a CFL contract with Shedeur Sanders. So if for any reason he's like, $4 million, get the hell out of here. The CFL could theoretically put the money together. Now, where would they find all of that money in Canada? I don't know. Could there be some way to get a sudden influx of cash for the nation? Don't know. Now, come on. That nothing?
Whatever. I don't know what you're talking about.
Whatever.
Are you talking about tariffs?
No, if they sold their country or became a 50. Just a joke, people. Let's all relax. All right. The Chiefs have picked up the fifth-year options for Trent McDuffie and George Karlaftis. On the flip side, no doubt a tough day for Mike Bacsik as Ben DiNucci has been released by the Saints.
Oh, man.
Still to this day.
I hope one day.
He's going to have to wear one of those hats.
I hope that the Rangers Sports Network says, hey, guys, Ben DiNucci's here. And he's giving these hats out.
And they make him wear it.
And not only do they make him wear it, but Mike has to interview him wearing the hat. They've all three, him and Dave Raymond and Ben DiNucci, are all up in that booth.
They do have a few theme nights.
Oh my God.
That's right. That's
let
right.
True
Brand's in on it too. So, and Ben DiNucci is up in that box and Dave Raymond's just sitting there being, you know, amazing like Dave Raymond always is. And then there's Mike just stewing over there, as red as his polo that he's wearing, just furious.
And like, I know Mike does bits. This is not a bit. He hates those hats. He thinks they're stupid and simplistic. He thinks society is stupid for buying them. Like, they infuriate him. So I'm with you. I would love to see that. And I hopefully we'd see it live. I'd be texting him every second and be like, oh, looks good on you. How does it feel, sellout?
It would be, it would, all we would do is all of us would just sit there and take pictures of him on the screen and just tweet at him, and oh, it would be the best. It would
like
be
at least
fun.
Once a week, I'd just send him a picture of him wearing that. And be like, oh, corporate man.
Yeah, look at you.
Money bags.
Towing the company line.
Oh, my God. I love it. All right. Let's go back to the rookies. Who do you think is the favorite to win Offensive Rookie of the Year?
Offensive Rookie. That's interesting because I feel like it's almost Travis Hunter.
We will get to that later.
I'll
but
go with
no.
Ashton Jeanty.
Ashton Jeanty ahead of the number one overall pick.
That's what I'm going with.
Well, that was a smart decision because Ashton Jeanty is the favorite over the number one overall pick. Who is the favorite to be Defensive Rookie of the Year?
It's either Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter, I believe.
One of those is correct.
I'll let Alec decide.
Abdul Carter.
It's a good thing you didn't let Corey pick because you got it right. That is correct. Abdul Carter is the favorite to be Defensive Rookie of the Year. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, last night the stars were big and bright deep in the heart of Texas. Next on The Fan.